Okay, today's daf is daf yud. We're going to start at tet amubet, seven lines from the bottom. Ula rava de amar. Okay, well, I'll remind you what we're up to. Refuah shlema l'dvor batino is Avram Shuma ben Chana, Carmela ben Ima, Orli Pnei bar Rachel Frida, Chaya Malka ben Esther bat Zipporah, Dani ben Mirim Chaya Rut, Yosef ben Rachel, Leah bat Rivka, Rafal Yishrof Halak ben Bracha bat Yael Mirim bat Chaya, Rina Chaya bat Shoshana, Yaakov ben Rosa, Tzvi ben Mela, Talia Rachel bat Tamar Sara, Leiloi Nishma Chana bat Atar, Vareza bat Sara. Okay, we're in the middle of a discussion about where we learn the source for that a woman is niknet bebi'ah. So we saw that Rabbi Yochanan said it's from Bu'ulapal, Rebbe said it's from Ube'ala, and then we were asking questions on, right, we asked why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan learn it from Ube'ala, and then we said because he thought that you might think it's kesef or, we need kesef and bi'ah in order to affect the nisuin. And then we said that he would learn from the word uba'ala, he learns the enamai v'ya niknei bebi'ah. So now we're going to say, where does Rebbe learn that concept that enamai v'ya is not niknei bebi'ah? So Rebbe, hi svarim enale. So he says, im koin lichtov rachmana uba'al, my uba'ala shma minat tarte. We've seen this many times, that you can't learn two things from one word unless there's two aspects of the word. In other words, the fact that it says uba'ala, so we learn from that she's niknei bebi'ah, but if they wanted to teach us that, they could have said ki kachi shisha uba'al. Okay, now of course grammatically it would make more sense to say uba'ala, but they're going to say from the fact that that word is almost like a compound word, right? It's made up of uba'al and uba'al ota. So we're going to therefore be able to learn two things. Shma mina tarte. So now they're going to say ularava. Oh, sorry, I said we were going to start from ularava. I meant over Rebbe. I was wrong. Okay, we started from the line before that. So now ularava to amar bar aheni esberali. Rava said that bar aheni explained to him this. Ki kach ishishau ba'ala. Kiddushin ha-mesurin li-bi'ah havo kiddushin. Kiddushin she'ein mesurin li-bi'ah lo havi kiddushin. So according to that, my ikalamema. Now we're going to have a problem because Rava says that Barahani explained to him a different drasha from that pasuk. So now we're going to have to explain how we can have three things that come out of that pasuk according to Rebbe. Why do we only ask it according to Rebbe? Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, you could say uba'al, uba'ala, right? And that you have the two things from there. Okay, so first we have to understand what he's talking about. What is kiddushin she'ein mesurin li-bi'ah? It means that if you can't marry someone, let's say with kesef or with shtar, if in the end you won't be able to have bi'ah with her. Now, what would be the case? So here's an example. There's a case where a father says to some guy, I want to marry off one of my daughters to you. And he does a kiddushin, and he gives him money, an act of kiddushin. Now, that act of kiddushin, he can never actually sleep with her, because why? He doesn't know which one. And whichever one it is, the other one is Isur Erva to him. So that's a case of kiddushin she'ein mesurin li-bi'ah, in which case there is no kiddushin. And how do we learn that? From the word uba'ala, because it has to be a case where you can actually sleep with her. So, what do we say here? According to that, what are you going to say? Im kein nichtav rachmana o be'ala. My uba'ala shma mina kulu. So now we're going to be able to learn three things from it. One from the vav of uba'ala, one from the ba'al, that he's, you know, actually has sex with her, and one from the hey at the end, uba'alota. Right, because the word is made up of three parts. So therefore, we can learn all those things. The Rebbe, okay, now we're going to go back. Rebbe, hi, be'ulat ba'al, my avidle. So now, what does he do with the phrase, be'ulat ba'al, which is the phrase that Rabbi Yochanan learned to teach us, that she's niknei bebi'ah. Okay, so what does he do with that? Hi, me'ba'ile, ba'al oseuta be'ula shelo kedarka, ve'ein acher oseuta be'ula shelo kedarka. What does he teach us? That what? That the husband, we saw this yesterday, the husband's the only one who can turn her into a non-virgin by sleeping with her shelo kedarka. But someone else who sleeps with her shelo kedarka doesn't turn her into a non-virgin. She still stays a virgin. Okay? So that's what Rebbe would do with be'ulat ba'al. Okay? I'm just going to... Is there a pen? Oh, the number's not here. It's on the island. Okay. So, fine. We'll chart it out in a minute. Now we're going to say, "Umi ile le Rebbe hai svara." But does Rebbe really hold that only he can make her a non-virgin by being shelo kedarka, the husband, but not anybody else?
Thanks.
Okay, so let's just chart it out for 1 minute. Okay, we have Rebbe Yochanan, and we have Rebbe, and then we have our two psukim, right? We have
Uba Allah, right, which Rebbe is going to use Uba Allah to teach us Nikne Bibia, right? And then it's going to also teach us two other things, because the Uba Allah is going to teach us that Kiddushin She'em Isruin Libya, right? She'em Isruin Libya is not Kiddushin. And it's going to teach us that Ein Amai Vriya Nikne Bibia, right? Ein Amai Vriya Nikne Bibia. Okay, that's what he's going to learn from Uba Allah. Rabbi Yochanan is going to learn from Uba Allah that just Ein Amai Vriya Nikne Bibia, right? Presumably, he could also learn the Kiddushin She'em Isruin Libya. And then from Be'ulat Ba'al, we're going to have Be'ulat Ba'al. We have Rabbi Yochanan, who teaches us from Be'ulat Ba'al that that's Nikne Bibia. And then Rebbe is going to learn from there the Ba'al, Ba'al, right? How is it? Ba'al, Oseh Ota Be'ula, Shelo Kedarka. But not anybody else. Okay, now we're going to change this in a minute. But, okay, we're going to modify it. Okay, but that's what we're up to right now. That according to Rebbe, from Be'ulat Baal, we're going to learn that just the Baal is Oseh Ota Be'ula Shelo Kedarka, but not anybody else. So now, they say, but wait, Mi Ile L'Rebbe Hai Sfar, does Rebbe really hold this? V'ha Tanya, didn't we learn in a Braita? Ba'u Ale Asara Anashim V'adayin Hi Betula. Right? If 10 men rape her, and she's still a bitula, meaning that they raped her bia shalo kedarka, kulam biskila, according to Tanakama. Rebbe Omer ani, I say, harishon biskila v'kulam b'chenek. So what do you see here? What does he hold? He thinks that she's not a virgin, even though it's done by an acher. So how could Rebbe learn that halacha from the pasuk b'ulat ba'al if he doesn't even believe in that halacha? So, what are we going to learn here? We're going to modify it, like I said. Amar Rabbi Zera, Mo de Rebbe le'inyan knas, de kulhu mishalme. There's two times where it's relevant if she becomes a non-virgin. One time with these 10 people. One time is if they rape her and they're chayav for nara murasa. And one time, that's if she's already engaged. The other, then that was the first case. When it comes to, and there's death penalty. When it comes to death penalty, we're going to assume that even an acher makes her into a non-betula. But when the punishment is knas, when is that? With the ones in the mefata case, where she's not married yet, she's not engaged, she's not betrothed to anybody. So she's not an eshadish, but he rapes her or he seduces her. In that case, he has to pay a fine to the father. When it comes to that, we're going to treat her, okay, that all of them pay. Okay, then in that case, their bia does not turn her into a non-betula. Okay, because the onus and befata case is in a betula case. If she wasn't a betula, they wouldn't be responsible. So in that case, he's going to consider them. So therefore, balo seo tabula shalo kedarka, we'll put parentheses, and also in acher if it comes to death penalty. But when it comes to paying knas, not in acher. An acher cannot turn her into a non-betula by sleeping with her shalo kedarka. So now, the obvious question, Maishna Mikatla. In other words, what's the difference between knas and death? The death is going to turn her into a non-betula, but not if in a rape case. Shane Hatam de Amakra. Now we're going to have a drasha. The pasuk there, when he gets the death penalty, what does it say? Umet ha'ish hasher shachav ima livado. Okay, so what do they say? Livado means only that guy, meaning livado is a reference that only the first one who sleeps with her. But if a second guy sleeps with her, then that's not going to make her into a, you know, then she's already been pagum from this first guy, meaning even if, now obviously this isn't the pshat of the pasuk, but even if he slept with her, shelo kedarka, he turns her into a non-virgin to the extent that anyone who else sleeps with her after that is sleeping with a regular eshet ish and not a virgin eshet ish, or not a virgin betrothed woman. Okay, she's no longer considered a virgin. So we learned it from the word livado. Now what are we going to have to do with this livado? We're going to have to say, well, that was already, but Chachamim disagree with him. The Tanakhama didn't agree with him there. And the Tanakhama said, no, all of them get skila. This doesn't hold true. So what's he going to do with the word livado? He's going to learn something else. Rabbanan, hai livado, my avdele. Mibai lehu l'chidetani, he needs it for a different braita. Totally different issue. Umeitu gamsh. I said anyway, right? This wasn't the pshat of that pasuk, so we can see that levado could be darshan to something else. Umeitu gamsh nehem. It says, okay, here's a bright. So the first opinion is not going to be relevant for us, but anyway, we're going to learn it. Umeitu gam shnehem. Who gets killed in the Naram or Asa case? It depends whether she was part, right, a willing partner or not a willing partner. If she was raped, then she doesn't get killed. But if she was part of it, then she gets killed also. So what does it say? Umeitu gam shnehem. In the case where they both die, how do they darshan gam shnehem? Ad shiyu shavin ke'echad. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. They have to be equal. What does this mean, they have to be equal? It means, okay, this isn't like the Ben Sorer Moreh, that both parents have to have the same type of voice, you know, that whole thing? That they say the kol, so they have to, their voices have to be the same, right? And they basically end up with, this could never happen, right? Because men and women's voices generally aren't the same. But all sorts of other things they darshan in there. But here, what does this mean, that they're the same? That let's say she was a minor and he wasn't. So she can't get a death penalty, she's a minor. So Meitu Gam Shnehem means they both have to be Gedolim. If one's a Katan and one's a Gadol, right, or Katan Gedola or Katana Gadol, then nobody gets killed. Okay, the death penalty isn't incurred. That's Rabbi Yoshia's opinion. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Umeita Ish, he disagrees. What does he say? Here's our pasuk. Umeita Ish asher shachav ima livado. Right, what does he say? It could be a case where only he gets killed. What would be the case where only he gets killed, even if both are guilty? If, let's say, she was a ketana, then only he would get killed. Or vice versa. If she was a gdola, and, right, I assume the vice versa would hold true. Didn't see anyone say otherwise, but maybe I would assume that that would be the case.
Actually, it translates it here. Even if one of the two is a minor, the adult offender may still be put to death.
Right. That's okay. Great. So that's what Rabbi, that's why they would darshan levado to teach you that, and not having anything to do with this b'yashalo kedarka. Rabbi Yochanan, okay, now we're going back. Rabbi Yochanan, this was all, what does Rabbi learn from Ba'ula Baal? What did we say? That the Baal Oseuta Ba'ula Shalokadarka, but not somebody else. So now the obvious question is going to be, well, where does Rabbi Yochanan learn that from? So, Rabbi Yochanan, Hai Svara Menale, where does he learn it from? Im Kain, again, this could be the same type answer. Nichtov Kra Ba'ulat Ish. My Bu'ulat Baal Shma Minatarte. Again, what's he going to say? The Pasuk could have chosen Bu'ulat Ish. The fact that it says Bu'ulat Baal comes to teach you only the Baal and not anybody else can make her a Bu'ulat Shalo Kedarka. So that's where he learns. Okay, so basically each one, again, just to review, each one had a different Pasuk for a different reference for where we learn the Ishani Knepe Bi'ah. Rabbi learned it from Uba Allah. Rabbi Yochanan learned it from Bu'ulat Baal. Each one said they used the other pasuk to learn something else, and then the other one responded, well, I learned them both from that pasuk, right? I can show you how we can learn both those things. Plus, there was even a third in one of the cases about this, Kedusha Shalonim Seru Labia. Okay, now we're going to have a question. Ibai Elihu, new section. Tchilat biyakone, o self biyakone. Okay, is it the beginning of the act of having sex kone, or the end of the act of having sex kone? Okay, nafkamina, okay, who cares, right? What's the difference? What's the relevance? Nafkamina kigon sheher rabba, you're going to love this situation. He starts going inside. Upashtaya david kibla kiddushin me'acherin. She puts out her arm, and she takes money for someone for kiddushin while he's in the middle of going inside, okay? Not exactly a realistic case, okay? But they're trying to find some sort of situation where he hasn't finished having sex with her, and she's already going and getting married with somebody else. So, do we say that she's already been kiddushined by the first guy, betrothed by the first guy, in which case the second kiddushin is not a relevant act? Or do we say, no, the first kiddushin wasn't finished yet, it only finishes with margmia, in which case she's now married, betrothed, to the second guy? Okay, yes, very strange case. Here's maybe a bit of a more relevant one. Inami, although still a bit strange. Lekoin gadol, dekakani betula bibia mai. Maybe you would say a Kohen Gadol then can never be Kone his wife through Bia. Why? Because if Tchilat Bia already turns her into a non-virgin, but actually doesn't make her married yet. The act of Kiddushin, right, if you take Bia and you split it into two, there's Tchilat Bia and there's Gemar Bia. So in between the tchilat biyah was enough to turn her into a non-virgin, but not enough for the act of kiddushin to hold. So therefore, when he does kiddushin on her, he's actually doing kiddushin with the gemar biyah on a woman who's not a virgin. And Kohen Gadol can only marry a virgin. Okay, like I said, maybe a little better than the first one, but quite a bit strange. Okay, so then you would just have to say that a Kohen Gadol could never betroth someone through biyah. He'd have to use one of the other methods. So Amar Amemar Mishmei Durava Kol HaBoel right, I didn't skip anything, right? No, okay. Kol HaBoel Da'ato Al Gemar Biyah. Okay, so he says, by the way, it really is Da'ato Al Gemar Biyah, in which case both those situations would end up that she wasn't married to the first guy, you know, or that the Kohen Gadol couldn't do it through Biyah. Okay, he says his intent is when I finish Biyah, that's when you're going to be betrothed to me. Okay, here's maybe a better question. Ibayilihu, bia nisuinosa o erusinosa? This a little bit relates to what we were talking about before. If you, there's two ways of reading this question. We're going to kind of read the sugya according to one, but I'm going to tell you both anyway. One way of reading it is that what we assumed before, which is when you are makadish bibia, are you makadish bibia, and in that same act you're also marrying her? You're also getting the nisuin done? Because really the whole idea of Bia is to consummate the marriage. Like chuppah is yichud, right? And if chuppah is yichud, right, one of the ways of looking at chuppah is that it's yichud, and then basically the act of bia would be what you would do if you were in yichud, you know, at least there's potential for you to have sex when you're alone by yourselves. And therefore, the concept is that the bia itself, if you're mekadesh bekesef, so obviously you need to have bia to finish the marriage. But if you've already been mekadesh bebia, maybe you're already considered married at that point. Okay? That's one way of reading this question. Another possible way of reading this question is, if you have, let's say you're mekadesh bebia, what do we learn? If you're mekadesh bekesef, so what do? You're mekadesh bekesef, and then when you do the nisuin, what affects the nisuin? Chuppah, which we said could either be standing under a canopy, or maybe it's yichud in a room alone, which means that if you had yichud and you slept together, then maybe, right, if you did it l'shem nisuin, then you should be married at that point. So that if you had bia after you did the kiddushin b'kesef, the assumption is, okay, now not everyone agrees with this, but let's say you had bia after erusin, after kiddushin, then you'd be married by the bia, because it's better even than chuppah, right? Chuppah is just yichud, you go into a room, you don't necessarily sleep together. So if you sleep together, then for sure you should be married. So one approach says that, and therefore what they're saying is, the question is, let's say you did bia as your act of kiddushin, and then you slept together again. With that act of bia, the same way we'd say it would work after kiddushin of kesef, or kiddushin of shtar, would it also affect marriage if you did it after you already had bia the first time? So we're not going to read the sugya that way. We're going to read it the first way, which is that bia nisuin osa or erusin osa. According to those who don't think that that's the way to go, they think that bia after kiddushin wouldn't necessarily mean you're married. Okay, just because you have bia after doesn't mean you're married. Marriage is, you know, you do chuppah. Okay, doesn't necessarily mean, because yichud works, that bia would also, you know, you do it with chuppah. But, okay, so let's go with the first approach. So bia nisuin osa or erusin osa. So if you do kiddushin bibia, or you already consider that you did kiddushin bibia and, you know, like all in one act, that one act of bia affected kiddushin and nisun. Nafkamina, what's the obvious nafkamina here? There's a lot of nafkaminas. Li yorsha, that he inherits her. Ulitamela, that he can be mitamela if he's a kohen, right? Then she's his wife. Ula haferni dereha, in other words, these are all the things that don't kick in from the time of erusin, only from the time of nisuin. Okay, we've seen this list many times, right? He can cancel her nedarim without the father's consent. So, iamar nisuin osa, if you say that the act of kiddushin of bia would also affect nisuin, then yorsha umetame la umefer nedareha. The iamar erusin osa, but if you say it's only erusin, then eina yorsha ve'eino umetame la ve'eino umefer nedareha. Ma. So, what's the situation? So, now we're going to try to bring several proofs. It's going to take us to the end of the daf, and then some. Amrabai, Tashma, let's learn from here. Ha'av zakai bibito, b'kidusheha, b'kesef, b'shtar, u'bibia. The father gets the daughter's kesef kiddushin, right? B'kesef, b'shtar, u'bibia, right? He's zakai to do kiddushin for her in all those manners. B'zakai b'mitziyata, v'maseyadeha. Right? He gets her mitziah. If she finds something, it goes to him. Maasei adeha, anything she does work-wise goes to him. Uba haparat nedareha, he can cancel her vows. Umakabel et gita, and he can accept her get for her. Ve'eino ochel pero pechayeha. But what's the one thing he can't do? When she has property, let's say her mother's father gives her a gift of property. So the father, that's hers, not having to do with the father. So the father can't eat the proceeds of her property. That's hers. Only once she dies, he inherits it. But not if, right, this is all before she's married. Okay? Before the nisuin, this is the situation, right? The father gets all these things except for the payroll he doesn't get. Niseit, if she were to be married, yeter alav haba'al, the ba'al has one yiteron in those. The ba'al gets all those things, the mitziah, the maasei adeha, the haparat nedareha, right? All that goes to the husband, except what's the one difference between a husband who's married to the father before she's married? The one difference is she'ochel perot b'chayeha. He gets the perot of all, right? He gets all the stuff that grows in her fields, he sells, and they go to him. So now, what do you see here? Katani bia v'katani niset. What does it mean? It said in the beginning that he gets her kesef kiddushin if she gets married, b'shtar, b'kesef, or b'bia, right? And once the kiddushin is affected, he still has rights to all those other things because she's not yet married. So what do you see here? And then it says later, once she gets married, then the husband gets all the stuff, really, right? So they're distinguishing between kiddushin, even al yidei bia, and nisuin. So therefore, it shows the kiddushin al yidei bia doesn't affect nisuin, because otherwise, from the beginning here, she'd already be married. So now they're saying, right? So it says bia and it says niset. So now, what's the answer? No, you can't necessarily derive from here, because you could just say ki katani niset ashara. Maybe they're saying, no, if she gets married, then married after Kiddushin B'Kesef or B'Shtar, but they're not necessarily referring to the Kiddushin B'Bia. The Kiddushin B'Bia could potentially affect marriage. It's just that they lumped them all together in the beginning, but when they talked about the second Shlav of married, they were only talking about after the Kesef or that, but if she was really Kiddushin B'Bia, it could go either way. It's not conclusive either which way. Amar Rav, Tashma, let's try to learn from here. Bat shalosh shanim v'yom achad mitkadeshet b'bia. V'im ba'a leha yabam k'na'a. Okay, we're going to have a whole list now of things. Once a girl turns three, we've seen this before, she's considered that she could her sex with a three-year-old, which is crazy to understand. We discussed how difficult the source is in the past. That once she's 3 years old, sex with her is considered proper sex, and therefore she's considered, for all these purposes, we'll see right now, all these things can happen. She could be mitkadeshet b'bia. V'im ba'aleha yabam kana'a, if the yabam were to sleep with her, he'd already acquire her. V'chayavin aleha mishum eshet ish, and therefore she'd be judged as an eshet ish. U'mitam'a et bo'ala letame mishkav tachton ke'elyon. Okay, we have to stop here for a minute and explain a few things. A woman who's in nida, if she sleeps with someone, which she's not allowed to, she's an avatuma. Okay, when she's a nida, she turns someone who sleeps with her also into an avatuma. Okay, if you have sex with a woman who's in, a man has sex with a woman who's in nida, he becomes an avatuma. However, there's one difference between him and her. She has a unique halacha. Okay, there's two halachot that we're going to learn. One is mishkaf tachton, okay, princess and the pea, right? Imagine lots and lots of mattresses with a pea under the rock, right? She lies on that top mattress. Everything under it becomes tummy. Okay, the tumah goes down even though she's not touching it, right? Generally, we say tumat maga, right? Then there is tumat masa, where you could carry something and even if you're not touching it, okay? But here, it's not even masa, she's not carrying, she's sitting on it, okay? Anything she sits on, it's called mishkav. She's mitame mishkav or moshav. Now, it's only, by the way, things that are meant, that's why the princess and the pea is perfect, it's a mattress, only things that are meant to be sat on or lied on, like a couch or a seat, okay? So she can be metame, and all those things, okay, what's unique about this, they become an avatuma. Okay, remember, there's a difference between avatuma, rishon latuma, sheni latuma, right, what they can affect. Avatuma can be metame, adam, and kelim. So what happens? She lies on this couch. The couch becomes tame, avatuma. It therefore can, person sits on it, they become tame, okay, because they've sat on the tame item. If it's a rishon, it can only be metame food and drinks, right? Not adam and kelim. Okay, the av is metame adam and kelim, the rishon. There's another halacha, and that's so that's all mishkav tachton. Mishkav elyon is not the upper of all the mattresses. No, it's something on top of her, like you put a blanket on top of her. Okay, let's say the blanket's not touching her, or there's something on top of the blanket. That also becomes an avatuma. Okay? Oh no, sorry. Opposite. That only becomes a rishon. Things that are on top of her only become a rishon. So now, what are they telling you here? If a man sleeps with this ktana who's bat shalosh shanim, okay? So now, while she has her period, okay, obviously she's a little older than three. She's mitame bo'ala, if she's in nido and she sleeps with him, he's mitame mishkav tachton ke'elyon. Okay? He is an av like she is, but there's one difference. He's mitame the mishkav tachton only like the elyon, meaning that he now affects tuma to something he lies on, only a rishon and not an av. Okay? She makes it an av, he only makes it a rishon. His mishkav tachton is like her elyon. Okay. That was all to explain that one line. Okay, continuing on. Ve'im niseit lekohen ochelet betruma. Okay, another ramification of this three-year-old girl. If she marries a kohen, she can already eat truma. Ve'im ba aleha acha mikol arayot shebatorah mumatin al yada. And if anybody who's asur to sleep with her, right, she's erva for any of these people, and he sleeps with her, they get killed because of her, right? Ve'hip tura, obviously, because she's a ketana still. She can't get killed. Okay, if somebody who messes her up for kahuna, okay, sleeps with her, then she's psulamina kahuna, right? This is what? Right, if she's a Kohen's daughter, then she can't. Right, that's what if.
If, how does it work that?
Oh, right. If she marries someone who's pasul lavo b'kahal, okay, like a mamzer or a netin or something like that, okay, they mess her up from the kahuna. Okay, she can no longer marry a kohen. Okay. Katani. Okay, so now what's the relevance of this whole thing? Why did we bring it? What are we trying to prove? Who remembers? We're trying to prove, can we say that Bia, if you do Kiddushin al Yedei Bia, that affects Nisuin also? So, Katani Bia, but Katani Nisei. Notice it said in the beginning it was just if he sleeps with her, right? Mit Kadeshe Bibia, it said, right? She can do Kiddushin Bibia. And then it said later, Im Nisei Le Kohen Ochela Petruma, if she marries a Kohen. I didn't say if she did Kiddushin with a Kohen, right? So if it says she did Kiddushin with the Kohen, right? But it says if she marries a Kohen. So because it uses Kiddushin in the beginning and Nisuin later, we see the Kiddushin Bibia doesn't affect marriage. Because otherwise you wouldn't need to say Niseit. So Ketani Bia, but Ketani Niseit. Then I say, no, you could also explain this differently. Hachi Kamar. I hani Nisuin de Kohen ninu ochele petruma. If the marriage happened to be with a Kohen, then she would be able to eat truma. It's not, right, so it could be that Nisuin is referring back to the Kiddushin Bibia that she did, and they're saying, and if that Nisuin, they're using the terms interchangeably. Okay, so it doesn't prove anything. Okay. Third source. Until now, by the way, we've been trying to prove that each source was brought to say that Nisuin doesn't affect, that Kiddushin doesn't affect Nisuin, Kiddushin Bibia. Now we're going to bring a source that they think is going to say the opposite. The Kiddushin with Bia would affect Nisuin. Tashma. Here's another source. Ukvar shalach Yochanan ben Bagbag etzer Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera l'nitzivin. Yochanan ben Bagbag sent a question to Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera in Nitzivin. Shamati alecha sha'ata omer arusa bat Yisrael ochele betruma. I heard about you, meaning, what's going on here? How could it be? I heard about you that you said that arusa bat Yisrael can eat truma. Remember, we've learned this before, right? What's the background? The arusa in theory could eat truma. But there's two reasons that the rabbis give for why she can't. What are the two reasons?
She's living in
her father's house, and therefore we're worried if she's eating truma, her brothers or siblings might end up eating truma accidentally. And then there was another answer, if you remember. It was called simpon. What are we worried about? That after the Eirusin, he's going to find some sort of a mum, and he'll decide he doesn't want to marry her, and therefore he's going to break the Eirusin, basically. And then it turns out she had eaten truma without really being allowed to eat truma. Okay, so therefore we'd rather wait to the later stage of Nisuin to allow her to eat truma. Okay, so keep that in the back of your mind. So he says, I heard you say that Naru Saba Yisrael can eat truma. Shalach lo. He sends back to him. Vata. Yata omer kein. What? And you don't think she can? Muchzakni b'cha shata b'ki b'chedrei Torah. Lidrosh b'kal v'chomer. I would have assumed you were knowledgeable enough to be Doresh b'kal v'chomer that would teach you that Abba Yisrael can eat truma. What's the kal v'chomer? I read it wrong. I know you're very knowledgeable in Torah, but you can't do a kal v'chomer here? What's the kal v'chomer? Uma shifcha k'na'anit. Okay, what's a shifcha k'na'anit? Remember, she lives in your house like the Evet K'na'ani. And what's the story with shifcha k'na'anit? You acquire her with money, right? And she eats truma. So what's he going to say? Ooh, you can see where this is going. Uma shifcha k'na'anit she'ein bi'ata ma'achilata b'truma. If you sleep with a shifcha k'na'anit, does that allow her to eat truma? No, it's a sur for you to sleep with a shifcha k'na'ani, not your own shifcha k'na'ani, right? You sleep with a random shifcha k'na'ani. Once she's yours, obviously she's eating truma because you acquired her. But if you sleep with her, you have sex with her, so what's going to happen? She doesn't become yours because you can't affect marriage. That's not kiddushin, right? Kiddushin or nisuin, right? That's not a marriage if you sleep with a shifcha k'na'ani. So, if you have a shifcha k'na'ani, she'ein bi'ata ma'achilata b'truma, that doesn't allow her to eat truma, but what does? Right? But buying her with money would be allowed to eat truma. So zosha biatama achilata b'truma, a woman who her bia feeds her truma, right, allows her to get truma. Eino din shekaspama achilata b'truma. So obviously, acquiring her with money, kiddushin, right, what's the assumption about the bia here? Now this is going to be the big question, and we're going to see a whole bunch of different ways. How is bia allowed to eat truma when she's married? Right? The assumption is that the bia consummates the marriage. Marriage, not kiddushin, right? Nisuin. So since her bia allows her to eat truma, so ein odin the kaspam achilata b'truma. Okay, that's the kal v'chomer. Since a shifcha k'na'anit, if you slept with her, that wouldn't allow her to eat truma. But if you buy her, it does allow her to eat truma. So therefore, an arusa with money should be allowed to eat truma, mi kal v'chomer. Because if her bia allows you to eat truma when you marry her, then obviously the kesef would be ma'achilata b'truma. So now we're going to have to understand what bia was he talking about. Was he talking about bia of kiddushin or bia of nisuin? Okay, that's going to be the big question here. So now, we're still in the brayta though, before we try to understand it. But what's his last line? He says, that's all a kal v'chomer I'm darshaning to teach you the ikar hadin. Okay? But there's nothing I can do about it because even though I think that I can darshan this kal v'chomer, how did this start out? Yochanan ben Bava said to him, to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, I heard that you allow an arusa to eat truma. So he says, you misheard, basically. I don't allow her to eat truma, but I think she should be. In other words, she should be allowed to eat truma, but what am I going to do? The Chachamim didn't allow. Remember, that's what we said. The whole thing is, in theory, she should be allowed to. Because Eirusin is, he's acquiring her. She becomes Kinyan Kaspo, basically. She's part of his household. But there's these two side issues that prevent us from allowing it. So now we have to understand Hechidami. What's the case here that they're talking about? Iba biya shal yedei chupa, vikesef shal yedei chupa. In other words, we're comparing here in this brayta. What's very confusing about this brayta is he compared two things that are not necessarily comparable. He compared bia, and he said bia allows her to eat truma, right? Vadai, right? To eat it. And then he said kesef, right? She should be allowed to, right? Okay, this was all. The kesef is obviously the less obvious. That's the one we're learning out from bia. Bia is teaching you to kesef. So now you have to understand, well, why was bia obvious that allows her to eat and kesef wasn't as obvious? So if you're going to say, right, our assumption is we're comparing Bia and Kesef, we're on the same ground. Bia Kiddushin, Kesef Kiddushin, or Bia of marriage with Kesef with marriage, okay, with Nisun. So if you're going to say, Ib Bia Shal Yideh Chuppah, in other words, it means Bia plus Chuppah. Okay, there was Bia and then there was Chuppah, meaning there was Nisun. And Kesef Shal Yideh Chuppah, so then Vitravayu Mechal Achla, in other words, everyone agrees that Kesef with Chuppah, she eats, that would be Nisun, she would eat. So it obviously can't be that. Ella, let's say you say it was Bia Sha'al Yideh Chuppah, which is how we explained it, right? Bia allows her to eat Bia of marriage, the consummation of the marriage. B'kesef Sha'al Yideh Chuppah, so ha'chatarte v'ha'chachada. These are not comparable. You can't make a good kavachomer there because Bia wasn't, you're not comparing two equal things. You're comparing Bia that had Chuppah with it, right? There was Bia after Kiddushin, let's say, or Bia plus Chuppah, and you're comparing to Kesef, which only had the Kiddushin and not the Nisuin. So that doesn't make sense to say either. So Iyamart, one second, Ela b'Bia shal yideh Chuppah v'Kesef shalo yideh Chuppah, ha'chatar tev ha'chachada. Ela lav, so what must be the case? B'Bia shalo yideh Chuppah v'Kesef shalo yideh Chuppah. It must be that what? We were talking about Bia of Kiddushin and Kesef of Kiddushin. And there it's a fair comparison. So now, what are we going to say here? Now this is going to prove that what? The Bia of Nisuin, of Kiddushin, affects Nisuin, basically. So, Iyamar Bishlama Nisuin Osa Mishum Hachi Pshitale Da'alimale Bia Mikesef. In other words, what's the assumption here? The assumption here was that Bia allows you to eat Truma, obviously. So why would that be? It must be because Bia also, without its own Nisuin, affects Nisuin already. And that's the Kal Vachomer here. Bia is obviously stronger because it also affects Nisuin. Da'alimale, it's stronger than Bia Mikesef. Ela Iyamar Kiddushin Osa, but if you say it only did Kiddushin, Shomaish Nahacha de Pshitale, Omaish Nahacha de Mesapkale, then why would Bia of Kiddushin be Vadai that it allows to be Truma, and Kesef wouldn't be so clear? It should be that it wouldn't be so clear either about Bia. So that's the way we understand it right now, and therefore we want to prove it. But comes Rav Nachman and he says, Am Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, no. La'olam emelcha, b'Bia shal yideh Chuppah, b'Kesef shalo yideh Chuppah. Now I have no problem that we're comparing two different levels of things. The whole point is, why was it obvious the Bia? Because we met Bia with Chuppah, okay? And Kesef without Chuppah. Udika Amarti, ha'chatarte v'ha'chachada, and your question about, well, that has two things, because it has Kiddushin and Nisuin, and that only has one, Kavachomer mi'aita. That's the whole point of a Kavachomer. It's comparing something that's stronger to something that's weaker. So that, right? So it. Say, if Bia al yideh Chuppah allows her to eat, then Kesef should also allow her to eat. And that's the Kal Vachomer. So he doesn't have a problem with that. V'hachi shalach le, and here's what he responded to him. Uma shifcha knani, right, this is what Yehuda ben Beteret, this is what he was trying to say, according to this reasoning. Uma shifcha, and now we have to read it with this reading. Uma shifcha knanit, she'ein biyatam achilata b'truma afilu al yideh Chuppah. That's what he's trying to say. A shivcha knanit, if you did Bia and you did Chuppah with her, let's say you said, I'm mekadesh the shivcha al yidei Bia, and I'm now marrying her, you bring her under the Chuppah, it's irrelevant, right? She still doesn't eat Truma, right? Okay? Afilo yidei Chuppah, kaspama ichilata below Chuppah, and yet if you acquired her with money, she'd be able to eat Truma even without a Chuppah. So zo shabiyata machilata b'truma al yidei Chuppah, okay, so that's the whole comparison. It's saying, a shivcha knani, Bia en chuppah doesn't even get her anywhere, right? And yet her kesef does. So therefore, a regular woman, if Bia en chuppah gets her there and she can eat truma, then obviously kesef should get her there. That's the Kal Vachomer. And therefore, it doesn't teach you anything, right? In other words, again, this source could go both ways and it doesn't necessarily teach you anything. And here's the continuation. Aval ma'ase shamrei chachamim amru chachamim ein arusa bat Yisrael ochelet b'truma ad shetikanes l'chupa mishum de'ula. Okay, remember that's because of Ula. What did Ula say? We saw this just the other day. Ula said because we're worried about the family members. Uben Bagbag. So what's Ben Bagbag? What about him? Why didn't he hold this Kal Vachomer? Kabe shipcha knani lo shir b'kinyana. Ha ha shir b'kinyana. When it came to the Shivcha Kna'anit, nothing was left over in her kinyan of Bia, of Kesef. Her kinyan of Kesef acquires her entirely. She's 100% his, right? She's owned by him at this point. But hacha, if you marry a woman with you betroth a woman with kiddushin, you're still not fully married to her. She's not yours yet, right? So therefore, shir bikinyana. And therefore, it doesn't work. Ravina amar, midaoraita mifsha pshita le daachla, umidarabanan hu deshalachle. Okay, so Ravina, you know, let's end here. Tomorrow we'll start with Ravina. He has a whole different reading of this source. Okay? So until now we've understood the source that it could really go both ways. And the way we finally understand it is that it's a comparison of Bia with Chuppah to Kesef without Chuppah. Okay? And from there we can infer that Bia by itself, right, without another act afterwards of Nisuin, does not affect Nisuin. That's what we showed, that you could read the source as showing. Okay? Or really that you could read it that way, or we had shown that you could read it the other way. It's inconclusive. Okay, we tried to bring the source to show that Bia would affect, right, Kiddushin Bilvah would affect Nisuin. And then we explained it, no, it could also, you could also explain that it wouldn't affect Nisuin. Okay, tomorrow we'll see a whole different reading of it.